Would you volunteer to infect yourself with the virus, assuming you're healthy, if you knew it would help others? If you knew it would get us a vaccine sooner, would you do it? That's a plan that is actually proposed right now by members of Congress, including one of the sponsors, Congressman Bill Foster of Illinois. He joins us now, 11th District, Illinois Representative. Thank you, Congressman. Thanks for your time.
Well, thanks, Adam. I appreciate it.
And I know you have a big vote coming up, so we won't keep you too long because that stimulus
money. We're actually, they're going to be calling the vote sometime in the next few minutes, and I'll jump in the car, head over, we wait in line and vote one at a time and then file out and protect ourselves for the next couple hours until the next vote.
So do you just line up 6 feet apart kind of thing?
No, they have us scheduled alphabetically in groups of, you know, 5 or 10 alphabetical letters, and they're operating 3 doors in parallel. We get out our voting card, go and put on our mask, maintain social distance, vote, wash our hands, and leave.
How about that? All right. Well, we won't keep you from that, but I do want to ask you about this because it certainly seems like a plan that's getting some attention, and there, you know, this idea that you were urging the FDA to think outside the box in ways, and this was one of the things you proposed: volunteers who could infect themselves with the virus, healthy
yes.
and young
so
people.
This has been used since the start of vaccines. The technique of producing a vaccine, inoculating someone, and then testing it by deliberately exposing humans to the dangerous subject. And so the for example, drugs like Tamiflu were developed this way by deliberately they were tested by deliberately infecting people. And so in this case, you know, the thing that we're struggling with is that under normal circumstances, it takes about 18 months to get a vaccine approved. And this is for very good reasons. You have to be very careful about deploying any new drug, not just a vaccine. And so what's different now is the lethality of the COVID virus, the damage it's doing to human life and to our economy. And so instead of taking a year and a half. If you can get this done in, say, 3 months by taking a batch of volunteers, a small group of healthy young volunteers, and under very controlled circumstances, deliberately infect them with the virus, then you can test a vaccine much more rapidly than you could. The way you normally test a vaccine is you get thousands of people and divide them into two groups. One group you give the vaccine to, the other group you do not. And then you just let nature take its course over a year or so. And then you go back and ask how many people in each of the two groups got the vaccine. So you'll find out, for example, that maybe 100 people in one group got without the vaccine, got the disease, and then with the vaccine, only 50 got it. So you'd conclude then that the vaccine is roughly 50% effective. An alternative is to take a much smaller number of people, the 100 or 200 people, choose them to be young and healthy, explain to them all of the risks that they're taking, and then over the course of about 2 months, they'd spend 1 month in a hotel-like environment as you collect a medical baseline, you give them the vaccine or a dummy vaccine, then you wait a couple of weeks in the hotel room waiting for the vaccine to take effect, and so you get the immune response. And at that point, they would then be exposed to the virus. You know, for example, by snorting a atomizer from an atomizer that has a diluted amount of and very controlled amount of the virus in it. Then you would spend the next month or so under very careful medical supervision. So you'd be in a hospital-like environment there. You'd have the best of care available to you. This is start at the earliest, probably a couple months from now, when we'll have a good idea if there are antivirals that will further lower the probability of getting infected. But at the end of those 2 months, the batch of 100 or 200 people would tell you with very good certainty whether you had an effective vaccine. And this has the possibility of saving hundreds of thousands or millions of lives
Congressman,
by getting
let me ask you about
a vaccine
that.
Earlier.
I know your background's in science. You're a physicist. And so I know that you've dug into the details in a way that most of us cannot. And I'm sure before proposing something like this, you did that. But there is no widely accepted cure, right? There is no vaccine. So you're entering in it. And I don't know that we're really positively sure that this doesn't come back, are we? So there are a lot of risks.
That's correct. There are something like 76 vaccines under development currently. So we're going to have to choose the best vaccine available as the one to deliver to, you know, the majority of people on Earth. Because it's very clear that the only way that we ultimately really get back to normal is when we have an effective vaccine. And as a policymaker, we have to prepare ourselves for the possibility that none of these vaccines will work. In which case, it's going to be a very rough future for us, and we're going to have our lives fundamentally changed for a long time. On the other hand, if there are vaccines, if one of these 76 vaccines is in fact quite effective, we should deploy it as rapidly as possible. Because, you know, if you just ask yourself the question, what is the benefit in human lives saved by having this vaccine 1 week earlier? It's enormous. Mm-hmm. And so people who volunteer for this will truly be heroes. Interestingly, the first scientific paper that was published on this was sometime about a month ago. And the authors of those papers have been approached by over 1,700 volunteers willing to serve as test subjects for this.
Yeah, seems like a lot.
Yeah, it's, you know, this is a situation like in the military where we routinely have asked for volunteers to go on a dangerous mission, because if that mission succeeds, it will save the lives of hundreds or thousands of others. Mm-hmm. So the morality is quite similar to that. And the key thing is that this has to be informed consent. The people who are taking this risk have to they have to understand the risks and accept them. Interestingly, if you actually work out the numbers, fewer people are likely to die in a one controlled test of a vaccine than in the normal thing where you get many thousands of people and just let nature take its course. That more people will die in the standard scenario than will die under the controlled conditions and a small number of volunteers.
We have a listener asking, will you be willing to be one of the people who participates in this study?
I will. I won't be on the first batch because you start with young and healthy people.
Mm-hmm.
But when it reaches my age, you know, I barely missed the draft in Vietnam. Mm-hmm. And part of me has always felt some guilt over that, that other people not much older than I were asked to take a risk, you know, for their country, that I was never asked to.
Yeah, I hear that. My dad was a veteran. I understand that. Why not use, though, the infected population of young, healthy people? You hear a lot of these people trying to give plasma right now. Maybe they would be the best candidates for this?
The difficulty is that is not a scientifically controlled sample. That you have to identify people, measure their health characteristics, then wait for them to get infected. Even in the so-called placebo wing, the wing of the trial that gets the dummy vaccine, in these controlled human challenge trials, you will be able to monitor everything about the patients, so that it will be a tremendously valuable scientific set of data that you will have when you'll have people with controlled racial characteristics, with controlled genetics, controlled health conditions, deliberately being infected and then watching the disease progress. So we'll be able to get answers to these questions like, you know, how common are asymptomatic spreaders, people that show no symptoms, whether it's really true that the racial disparities that we see in number of victims and number of deaths, is that an intrinsic genetic feature of different races, or is that simply differential access to health care? We'll be able to get solid scientific answers to those kinds of questions, as well as the possibility of getting a vaccine early and saving hundreds of thousands or millions of human lives.
All right. Congressman, thank you. We don't want you to miss your place in line for the big vote coming up, and we appreciate you taking the time
for us. Well, the timer is down to 11 minutes and 42 seconds, so I think
get over there.
Okay.
All right, good.
All right,
thanks, Congressman. Congressman Bill Foster, 11th District of Illinois. He's voting. It's Congress's big vote today underway. They're passing stimulus 3.5. That's the one that sends billions to small businesses.